Hey guys, this is Scott and this is the Life Talks podcast. Today we are going to continue talking about the fivefold ministry. So, like I said in the intro, guys, we're going to push on and keep talking about the fivefold. We've covered it for a few weeks, probably close to a month and a half. And if you haven't listened to the two interviews that I did, one with Andres David Pena down in Colombia, he has an apostolic ministry. We're going to interview some other people with apostolic ministries as well, because they have, you know, you have apostles with different flavors. We'll talk about that later, a little later today. And then I interviewed John West about the prophetic. The second one was quite long, but it is worth your time if you're interested in that. And so today I really want to talk about, okay, so we've kind of discussed each of the gifts. We've kind of discussed how they function in terms of the government of the church. But we really need to talk about the unity of the gifts. Okay, so the model, how does it work? Not only that, but the importance of unity. And we're going to just kind of talk about a few things that we're probably guilty of, myself included, and the importance of understanding that these gifts are not hierarchical. So there's no hierarchy to them, that they are all equal. Now, in terms of the apostle and the prophet, they've been given more administrative foundational responsibilities, but that doesn't mean that the church can just stick with the prophet and the apostle and forget the other ones. Okay, and so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. So, if you're listening, this is the first time that I'm recording on the day that I'm launching this. The last month has actually been pre-recorded, or they were recorded when I was in Colombia, because me and my family just got back in town last weekend. So, it's good to be back recording in my office. That being said, let's talk about the fivefold, because the big struggle with the fivefold is unity within the gifts themselves. Remember, these are gifts. These are unique gifts of grace from Christ himself. They're not Holy Spirit gifts. Everyone has the Spirit, right? Everyone has a Spirit. You go read the gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians. Everyone has the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can manifest through them those gifts. So everyone has the Holy Spirit. These are not gifts of the Spirit. If you go read in Ephesians, these are gifts of Christ himself that he gives to some. Okay, and so I had a conversation with someone before I left for Columbia saying, well, I think everyone has a fivefold gift because we all have the Holy Spirit. And that's where I said, you're right. I agree. We all have the Holy Spirit. But these aren't Holy Spirit gifts. These are Christ gifts. They are gifts of Christ himself as he comes and lives in and through us to fulfill the mandate that he's given to the church, to fulfill his purposes, his plans, his will here on earth. Remember, his church is the fullness of him, his body. And he comes and inhabits his church through those gifts of grace, the fivefold gifts, in order to mature the church. Okay, remember we walked through Ephesians 4. I don't want to walk through it again in this podcast. It'd be redundant. But we need to understand that they're gifts of grace. They're gifts of Christ himself. And so that he comes to fill all things. And he does so through these five gifts, which he has put in individuals who are the gifts in order to... It's Christ manifesting and living his life through those individuals. Because remember, Jesus Christ was the great teacher. Okay, he is the great prophet. He is the chief apostle. He is the great evangelist. Okay, and he is the good shepherd, the pastor. So he is all of those five gifts, 100%. And then he breaks up of himself and gives them to individuals so they can represent and walk as he walked here on earth. Now, we all walk as Christ walked through the Holy Spirit, but some individuals have unique graces. Okay, remember, unique graces and gifts to fulfill that mandate. So if we need a pastor, individuals have unique gifts and graces to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring health and nourishment to the body. Okay, so, and then et cetera with all the other ones. So let's talk about this real quick, because this is, I mean, this is really important. What happens right now, what happens really in the charismatic community is we tend to put the apostolic and the prophetic on a pedestal and ignore the other ones, right? So look, let's do some self introspection here. Have we overly glorified the apostolic and the prophetic? I know I have. I think for me personally, it's because it's exciting and it's new. They're newer, right? This is not that they're newer in any sense, but what I mean when I say new is, I mean, they've recently been kind of restored to the church, right? The apostolic and the prophetic have recently been restored to the church, as well as other things. But so because of that, there's this tendency to look at them and say, oh my gosh, the apostles and the prophets are here. Everything's going to be okay, right? But we forget about the other three, and we almost kind of want to, I hate to say it, but kind of degrade the other three. And we can't do that, okay? These are equal gifts. They're equally important. Christ came as the great shepherd, the great evangelist, and the great teacher as well. He didn't just come as the apostle and the prophet, and we need to understand that. So we need to kind of think that, well, maybe have, you know, personally, look into our lives and say, have we kind of maybe over glorified two of them at the kind of hurt of the other three? As I could say, yeah, I'm probably guilty of that, right? There's this when the apostolic and prophetic movement came and this fivefold ministry message came, it was almost like, oh my gosh, we need the apostles and prophets. And we do. We need it. The church was without them for quite a while. At a recognized level, I should say, because there were still people who were apostles and prophets. They just didn't probably use that terminology because it hadn't been culturally accepted back into the church yet. So anyway, so we got to be careful that we don't glorify one gift over the other, okay? And we don't say, well, my church is apostolic, you know, kind of getting any kind of arrogance or pride or smugness in us. In fact, remember, in order to really understand the fivefold ministry, you don't look at yourself and what you do. You look at the body of Christ and say, what needs to happen in the body? What do we need to bring to the body? What needs to happen so that Christ can form himself in and through the church and glorify himself to the world, right? And that's the mentality we have to have. It has to be a mentality of, this is Christ's body. What needs to happen, okay? So, real quick, let's talk. So, these gifts, there has to be unity because there is big tension between some of the gifts, okay? People with these gifts see the world fundamentally different. There is a major difference in how these gifts see the world, okay? And let me give you an example, and I've used this one. The pastor is going to see the world through the lens of protecting the church, protecting his people, protecting the flock, making sure they're healthy, making sure they're nourished, making sure they're getting their interaction, making sure that they're staying connected to everything. Okay. It is all about the body. That is how he sees the world. Okay. Through that paradigm. The evangelist is going to see the world through the lost. It's going to all be about, we need to get people saved. We need to get people into the kingdom. We need more salvations, okay? Neither of those is wrong, okay? So if you lean one way, but you're involved with something that leans a different way, so let's say that you're very pastoral, yet you find yourself in an organization or a church that's very evangelistic, okay, we got to be careful not to judge these fivefold gifts because of the gift. In other words, if we're pastoral and we're like, oh, well, we need the church, we need to focus on us, and we're judging people because they're evangelistic, you've just judged Christ. You've judged one of the gifts of Christ, okay? And that's not good, right? You've judged it as not being right. You've judged it as, well, we need to do this. No, what we need to do is we need to find who everyone is in the body. We need to find where they belong, and then you need to connect there, and you need to serve where God has created you to serve, okay? If you are a leg and you're in a church that's a hand, don't become a hand, okay? You need a leg. That church probably needs a leg. I hope you're following the metaphor. In other words, don't become something just because that's what you're around and that's what people are expecting you to be. You need to be the part in the area that God has created you. You need to understand what part of the body you are and be that part. And so now I'm using it as a more broad term, but I'm also talking about the fivefold. So let's say you come into a church that's evangelistic and you're more pastoral, maybe you're more prophetic. Okay, don't start judging it and saying, well, this is wrong. Okay, it's not wrong. It's right. It might not be the full truth. Remember, because the fullness isn't seen until all five gifts are operating together. That's when the fullness is seen. So we just got to be careful. And look, I'm talking to myself here. Be careful not to judge other ministries, whether they are or what. Well, maybe we don't judge them. Maybe we just think our ministry is better because, well, we do it this way. Okay, don't do that either. Okay. And look, I've been guilty of that. I've definitely been guilty of that. But we need to be careful not to do that, because we need to understand that each of these gifts sees the world fundamentally different, and they respond in the way they see. Okay, and so you might have a church that's pastoral, you might have another church that's evangelistic, you might have another church that's prophetic, and they might all look at each other and say, "Oh my gosh, you're missing this," you know. But in reality, every church is going to be missing something if they don't have the full five operating, all right? So there, because of that, because of the way these gifts see the world, there is a fundamental, which is fundamentally different, there is a tension, and we've talked about this, there's a tension that comes between the gifts. And so what has to happen within the fivefold itself is there has to be an understanding that this is how I see the world, which is, let's say, more pastoral, right? And then this is how this person sees the world, which is more evangelistic. But we can't say, well, you're wrong and I'm right. We have to say we're both right. We are both 100% right. And we both need to empower each other to walk in the grace that God has given us. Because if you're evangelistic, yet there is a, if you are an evangelistic person, yet there is a, how do I say this? There's a responsibility and a need from other people for you to be pastoral. Okay, you can be pastoral, but it's not going to be easy, and it's going to feel like you're swimming upstream. Okay, that's the reality, because you don't have a grace for that. If you have an evangelistic gift, or you have that evangelistic, you can try to be pastoral, but because you don't have that grace, it's not going to be as fruitful, not going to be as effective, and you're going to see that it's just going to be tiring. Okay. I don't know a better way to put it, but you get tired, right? So, that's a reality, but we understand that the purpose of the gifts is to build and mature the body, right? So you say, well, all we need is the apostles and the prophetic. Okay. So let's use a metaphor of the body. Okay. So the apostolic for me is a mobilizer and helps the body get ready for war, right? So the bride is there, the apostles are there, and they're mobilizing the body to act and war, right? There's this understanding of the apostolic that says, okay, these things need to be in place and we need to move, right? Okay, so that's one. So the prophetic is it's like the eyes of the church. We see where we're going and we're walking in that direction. That's what the prophetic does. The prophetic gets the bride, the body, walking in the right direction, looking in the right direction, and able to navigate the things that are coming. Okay. So if all you have is the apostle and the prophet, well, you're mobilized, you know where you're going, you're ready for the mission, and you're empowered for the mission, but what happens if your body is decrepit and withering away because you have no pastors? You're not going to be effective in your warfare. You're not going to be effective in completing your assignment, right? And look, for those of you who've been in Christianity long enough, there are a lot of people, we're all just wounded warriors, okay? There have been times in my life where I've just said, I don't need a prophetic word. I don't need an apostle. I just need a pastor. Right, I just need a pastor, okay? And we've probably all had those moments. I just need someone to help bring healing in my life, okay? Or to bring a cleansing, to bring this understanding in my life. So that's where the pastor comes in. The pastor says, well, I'm going to make sure the body is healthy and nourished and well-fed. Because look, if you're mobilizing a military, if you're mobilizing the body of Christ, you might know what you're doing. They might be equipped to do the assignment, and they might be heading in the right direction. But if you don't feed your army, if you don't feed your body, It's not going to make it very long. They're going to wither away, okay, and die probably in the process, right? And so if you have an apostolic and prophetic ministry that doesn't have a lot of pastoring, okay, then what happens is you're very mobile, you're very active, but you probably have a lot of casualties, people who just get hurt along the way, get wounded, they get exhausted, and then they can't finish the mission. Okay, so that's where your pastor come in. Okay, well, what about your teachers? Well, your teachers are what make you mature in your understanding of Christ. Remember, go back and read Ephesians 4. We talk about Paul talks about being tossed here and there by every changing doctrine. Okay, so teachings bring a maturity in your understanding of the faith. In other words, they bring the apostles and prophets are foundational, but teachers bring a stability that say, oh, okay, wow, I understand now that this is right and that's wrong. It brings a maturity, okay? And then your evangelists are what lengthen the arms of the church, open the arms of the church, and embrace all, okay? Without the evangelist, it's almost like trying to get into a clique. A click group where everyone's arms are closed off to you. Very difficult. Okay, the evangelist opens those arms and starts gathering people and bringing them in. So you understand you have to have all five in order to see the body walk into maturity. We can't glorify a couple of them and look at the others and say, oh my gosh, they're just like they're like the janitors of the church, right? I'm being facetious here, but we have to understand that your body still has to be healthy. You know, you can have vision, you can have direction, you can be mobilized for war, but your body has to be healthy and nourished or it's not going to make it, okay? It has to be founded biblically. It has to be founded in knowledge. It has to have the teaching. Otherwise, it could be deceived and go off track, okay? It has to have the arms have to be open. The evangelistic arms of the church need to be open and gathering people. Otherwise, the lost are going to hell. And we know that Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Okay. And that's part of his heart. Okay. And so here's what I've noticed about the gifts. Now the prophetic is unique because the prophetic, this is part of the fundamental operation of their gift. But every person who has one of these gifts, it's almost like they have the heart of Christ for that gift. In other words, pastors have received that pastoral shepherding heart of Christ, okay, and that's what drives them, okay? Your evangelists have received that evangelistic heart of Christ. That's what drives them. Your prophets, they're just all listening to Christ. They're all about hearing God and understanding what his heart is, right, for a broad range of things. And then your apostles have that apostolic heart of Christ, which is about the mission, mobilizing, getting things done, the assignments, and so on and so forth, right? And so we need to understand that people are going to see, people with different gifts will see and feel these things fundamentally different, but there's nothing wrong with that. And so in order for them to operate together, there has to be an understanding that you're going to be different than me, but that's okay. That's completely okay. Because if you are trying to operate in a grace that you don't have, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be exhausting. You're going to feel like you're working a lot. You're going to be striving a lot. And there's not going to be any ease to it, okay? When you sync up with the grace that God has given you in your life, it's like jumping into a lazy river where you just get to flow with the power and the presence of God and what he's given you, okay? And so we need to understand that. There's kind of a false misconception for the apostolic that they can walk in all of the gifts, and that's not necessarily true. The fundamental gifting of the apostle is that they are sent for an assignment and a purpose and a mission, okay? That's the definition, is an apostle is one who is sent. We talked about that, and it's not so much that they're being sent as much as they are sent with the authority of the one who sent them. So Christ Jesus, to accomplish a purpose and a mission. So the apostle has a mission. That means they have a grace to accomplish the mission, which means if they come into an area, they can be pastoral if they have to, right? And then you have different flavors of apostles, but they can be whatever they are in order to accomplish the mission. The grace of God works in them to accomplish that mission. And so it doesn't mean that they can be a teacher, they can be a pastor. It just means that they have a grace to complete a mission, and the Lord allows them and helps them to operate however is needed. But you need to understand there are different flavors of each of these giftings. There's different flavors of apostles. Some apostles are very evangelistic and mission-oriented. Some apostles are very prophetic and intercessor-oriented. You can't look at one of the flavors and say, this is it, right? This is it. So in my interview with Andreas, he has an apostolic ministry, and we talked about what that looks like, sobredosis. Here in a couple of weeks, I'll hopefully be able to interview another apostolic individual, and you'll get to see what their apostolic flavor looks like. Okay, so we can't say this is right, they're wrong, we're better, they're wrong. There needs to be unity here. And so the model of how this works is now all of these people come together and they work together in a team. You get these apostolic teams that each contain the five gifts, and these teams work together in regions or nations or internationally to go in and strengthen the church. And then part of their job is to identify and find other individuals with these giftings, these fivefold giftings, and then to help develop and equip them in their giftings towards the church. So, and what happens is you get churches that are birthed, you get other individuals who raise up in these fivefold giftings, and then they go and birth church. And so you get this cycle where churches are continually being birthed, new leaders and new fivefold giftings are continually being birthed. Okay. And so all of a sudden you find yourself in a region with, you know, now maybe you have 50 churches, that means you have 10 apostles, you have all these different prophets. And so what happens is you form networks. That's the word we use now. We use networks. But if you go read the book of Acts, you see the same thing. You see that they had the apostles and the prophets in Jerusalem, but they had a group in Antioch as well, and they were responsible for their regions, but they still came together. They came together in unity. Especially in Acts 15, when there was a problem in the debate with circumcision, you see that the apostles and elders and the prophets from Antioch came together with those in Jerusalem, and they talked about it. So you see, you have these different apostolic spheres that are coming together in this network. Okay, and that's a lot what happens today. I think they have that the organization ICAL, International Coalition of Apostolic Leaders. That's kind of I've never been to one, but, you know, we've talked about it a lot. But that's kind of, I think, the general idea of what they do. They try to connect apostolic leaders. And so that's how these models work. And in doing so, there's a continual multiplication, and there's a continual maturity and a growth that happens in the church. Excuse me. And so this is the model. This is the fivefold model, and this is how it works. It's not a, I'm an apostle, I am the apostle, so you need to serve my ministry. That is not how it works. There's no biblical precedence for that. In fact, the Bible gives us the complete opposite example. Paul was an apostle, yet Paul served other people. We have to understand these fivefold gifts are servant gifts. They're not gifts that say, oh, I'm a fivefold gift, that means you need to serve me. Uh-uh, it's the opposite. I'm a fivefold gift, which means I'm here to serve you so that Christ is formed in you, so that you mature into the full image of Christ and that you walk into your destiny. That is the purpose. It's not serve me so I can fulfill what I want to fulfill. It is I'm here to serve you, and in doing so, that individual will fulfill what they're called to fulfill. It is a servant gift. Servant role. It's also not a role where you say, oh, I'm an apostle, you need to come under my church, because that's not how it works either. You go read the book of Acts. These churches had independence and they had autonomy. Now, they still connected with Paul and these other apostles, and they submitted willingly to them in areas and things, but they were independent. They were autonomous. Okay, they still governed themselves. And that's why Paul was very adamant about establishing elders in each church, because those elders were the ones who were going to operate and run the church. The apostles and the other fivefold giftings were there to help them in what was needed. So when they needed an apostolic individual, they could bring Paul in, they could bring someone else in, Paul could send Timothy, whatever. Okay, so that is how the model is really supposed to work. anytime there's this hierarchical structure where the apostle at the top says, you're here to serve me, or, you know, you need to connect and you need to submit to us and serve this ministry. Anyway, I'm not going to go into it. It's not biblical, okay? Because apostles gave churches autonomy. They gave churches their independence, and they allowed them to function and operate as they felt and as they felt led by their elders and the Holy Spirit. So anyway, that's all we have for today, guys. We're going to keep pushing into this fivefold ministry thing because I'm telling you, it's important right now. I really feel this is a very important thing for us because as soon as this pandemic started, right, I said, look, it's the time for the body to realize who they are, and it's a time for you to realize where you fit in the body. Okay, until we figure that out, until we can put ourselves together and understand where we are and what we fit in and what we bring to the body, we're never going to be able to truly operate and function as we're supposed to. So that's where we're at right now, guys. I really believe that. And I will leave you with that little bit of information today, guys. We'll pick back up on Thursday. So you guys have a blessed week.